Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, this is John Hollis, and of course you're listening to RIR Radio. Thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Music, nature sounds, and affirmations. A couple of great guests on tonight. We have, of course, Bruce Duncan, who's a musician and therapist, who will be on with us tonight and talking about how you can take music and its effects and use it in a treatment setting. So that's going to be a part of the show. We also have a gentleman that has been working on a sound system through the Sound Pillow. It's called the Sound Pillow Sleep System. Scott Armbruster, who has been working on this system for quite a few years and tweaking it with in clinic test results and a bunch of other things that he has done over the years. To really help people with music therapy and to be able to help people in all avenues, not just the addiction avenue, but through tinnitus and people with PTSD. It's been a huge undertaking in many years in the making, and of course we got Scott Armbruster on with us tonight too. So what I want to be able to do is talk to you about the Rockers from Recovery. We've been around since 2008. Of course, this is our 893rd episode that we're producing tonight, and of course we appreciate everybody that's tuned in over the years and made Rockers in Recovery what it is today. And most importantly, I want to thank our supporters, the people that no matter what support Rockers in Recovery to be able to carry a message of hope. We are not a treatment program. We're not about to talking from the platform of a treatment program. We are here as an organization that puts the message out there that addiction kills, and the bottom line is that everybody struggles with addiction. I don't care if you're new in the program or you have 30 years, everybody has their struggles and everybody goes through their stuff. Or if you're a family member that's out there, you're hurting tonight because your loved one's out in the streets, listen, it will get better. It may not get better for them, but it will get better for you. I love the fact that through our message, we get to carry a message of hope to people in all avenues that are dealing with the suffering of addiction. Most importantly, there's also that message, the other side of the message, that, when things are good and things are happening in our lives, they're happening for a reason. And when we're in recovery and we're walking in recovery, God makes things possible in my life. I can only tell you that from experience that, we get to walk through each day and go through our ups and downs. And, if we don't use today and we come out the other end of it, it's been a good day. So I want to bring on our first guest, of course, Scott Armbruster. And Scott, are you with us?
Yeah. How are you this afternoon?
Good, man. Thank you. We weathered the storm, what little bit was left of it, and we're making it through. If we drop out on this show, it's only because everything in the area has been a nightmare. But, hey, listen.
Welcome to live radio, huh?
Yeah, that's it, man. Hey, listen, I wanted to I love the fact that you're still the tenacity of the Sound Pillow and the Sound Pillow Sleep System. It's really evolved over the years. And I want you to just be able to talk to, because I think you first came on our show in 2007.
Mm-hmm. And it's been that long.
It's just been the pillow. It was just a pillow at that point. Yeah. Then you evolved into a lot of other things here. Let's talk about the history of what the system's all about.
Okay. Well, it actually started in 1991, where I was the victim of an acoustic insult. I used to work at the large-scale concert events, and I was working with a couple of classic rockers in 91 and was adjusting a laser mirror stage left. I did not get out of in the front of house area fast enough, and when the rocker went into his classic anthem, he literally dropped me off the stage, buckled my knees, and ever since then I've had this very loud sound in my head called tinnitus, or tinnitus, which is known as the ringing of the ears. A few years later, I started working with the concept of speakers inside of a pillow, primarily because I like the concept. I didn't realize that what I was developing was going to be something that would be for anybody more than just me. Now, it was, necessity is the mother of invention at all. So, I'm playing with the concept of speakers inside of a pillow, and I wanted to be super comfortable, and being that I'm from the sound industry and still connected to the sound industry, a bit of a sound snob, had to sound good, had to feel good, and I really thought that was going to be the end of it. Flash forward a few years later, and I'm starting to look for the content. What should someone listen to when they're listening to their sound pillow? And, I pull every CD out of every name brand retailer out there. If it had a dolphin or a whale or a lily pad or an ocean scene on the cover, I bought the CD. And was ultimately unhappy with, the results that I was getting, because the tracks were too short, or there was big change in tempo or volume. John, I love dolphins, I really do, but not squawking in my ear at 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm trying to sleep. And so, there was this, or the angry bird in the middle of the rainforest. And I was just very dissatisfied, me personally, with what I was finding. And then actually, with the relationship that I had then, developed with you, ran across a gentleman by the name of Dr. Harry Henshaw. Dr. Henshaw had been producing his own music and content for the addiction recovery industry. And he called one day and said, look, I've tried your pillow and I've listened to my music, and it's great. Now, keep in mind, I'd been called probably 1,000 times by other people along the way, and every time I listened to whatever they had to send me, it was generally, this is what I don't like about it, or, it wasn't what I was looking for. However, this was different. This actually put me in a place that I really like to be, above and beyond the sound in my head. The tracks were long. They were very evolving. They were just slow, and there just wasn't anything about the music or the sound that remotely connected to my life. This is called non-emotional music or non-emotional content. So, as humans, we are wired to respond to sound. I'm sure that there's your favorite party song, or there was your first date song, a song that reminded you of, back when maybe it's grandma's house or your parents' house or perhaps in college. And I was looking for the opposite of that. I was looking for what would remind me of nothing and allow me to, not think about the sound in my head, maybe even cover up the sound in my head. And Harry, Dr. Henshaw, had this sound that I really, really liked. So we took it from concept to, sort of a test market. We needed to see if we had something here. So in, working through your organization, Rockers in Recovery, I, met folks like Siobhan Morse, who was back in GMG at the time, and was in charge of the National Institute for Holistic Addiction Studies, also known as NIFAS. And we found that we did have something here, that for a number of reasons, the folks who tried this in application while they were in the clinics actually had a very positive response to what we were doing. And that's where we first went, okay, there really is something here. From addiction recovery, we took it to Wounded Warriors. The Marines detachment here in San Antonio had very similar results. From there, it went to post-traumatic stress disorder, TBI, which is traumatic brain injury. These folks also had anxiety and tinnitus and sleeping disorders. And from there, it actually went to autism. And we discovered the power of sound, and the right sounds really could and do put people in a place that is just very relaxing, meditative, if you want it to be. And the vast majority of our clientele actually uses the Sound Pillow Sleep system to help put them in a place that is going to promote sleep, and then they fall asleep and they just leave it playing. And so it's really incredible when you bring in this concept of, you know, sound therapy. And I'll tell you, back when I first started this, you know, I had total belief in the Sound Pillow because I was, you know, an avid user. I used it all the time. I just didn't use it as well as I could have until I found the right content. And that's when it really started taking off. But, look, as you said, that was years in the making. You know, in addition to the fact it had to sound good and feel good, and I don't want you to feel the speakers, and the pillow has to be something that you want to use. And you put all that into a single package, it's pretty powerful stuff. Very cool.
And it plugs into your system, which is already pre-downloaded with music from Harry. Is that correct?
Yes. The sleep system includes now actually music from Harry and some other stuff that I've been developing on my own. Now that I've been able to kind of reach out and expand my horizons a little. But yeah, the sleep system includes a very easy to use MP3 player, which is really the packaging. It's the conduit to hold all of this content. Because I think sending somebody 15 or 18, actually in this case, the 18 one-hour CDs is just not an efficient way of doing it. Plus now, you know, CD players being phased out as we move into the MP3 world and more of the digital content world. But the player is preloaded, it plugs right into the Sound Pillow, and then the pillow plays whatever it is that you've chosen off of our MP3 player.
My understanding is you just left a seminar, is that correct, this past week for therapy, for music therapy?
Yeah, actually it was in New Orleans. It was just last week, but a little fuzzy, it might have been the week before because I said it was in New Orleans. And we spent about 2 days, pretty intense days, in seminars that were really validating what we had already found. You know, all of the studies that I'm going to air quote the word study, their reviews, their reports that you find on our website, which is, of course, you know, soundpillow.com. On our homepage, we've got a little drop down that says the reports. And you're welcome to, and everyone's welcome to download these reports and see for yourself what happened. But those were, you know, those would be in the scientific world would be considered more anecdotal. You know, even though it's all third party, there's a lot of, you know, the in-clinic results that we did in addiction recovery were all double-blind. There wasn't this university or, you know, big establishment in the middle of us. So the folks at the event, you know, they took it very seriously. But then when I saw what they had done through some of the larger universities and were having the same types of results we were having, one of the researchers had actually, you know, referenced us in his reviews, you know, saying that, you know, this is what they found here at Sound Pillow. This is just a little more, I guess, official, but the same thing. As humans, we are wired to react to sound, and there really just isn't any other way around it. It's how we were made.
You know, it's funny because I believe that, and I've seen it with, you know, in 2011 when Rockers in Recovery did the Love of Recovery, first annual Love of Recovery concert in February, we had laid out the whole day. And part of that day when me and Lori were laying it out was to do a Rockers in Recovery unplugged set. And I remember that, you know, this is 2011 and, you know, music wasn't even looked at that point as anything other than, okay, you know, some funky meditation guy sitting in the middle of the room. And it wasn't looked at. You know what I mean? I'm serious. I mean, that's what it looked at.
I hear you. I know.
You know, it has evolved into, you know, where people in treatment centers are using it. Mm-hmm. Treatment centers are using it as a full boat. A clinician. It's an amazing process that has taken place over the years.
and to watch people warm up to the idea that, hey, listen, you know something? Maybe they got something here. Maybe this is right.
Yeah.
I remember sitting in 2011, and, you know, they were, you know, the musicians were on the stage, and they were, you know, doing an unplugged set, and there were, you know, 200 kids arm in arm swaying back and forth. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. It was an amazing process to see happen.
Yeah.
That it was actually touching them, and you could see it. You know what I mean? You could feel the energy in the air. And you were there. I mean, you know, you were part of that event. You came and hung out with us. It was, you know, listen, through that process, I think that you're absolutely right. I mean, it definitely touches us emotionally. There's no doubt that we definitely have that part of us that gets touched. What I'm going to do right now, so I'm going to bring on Bruce Duncan, who's a musician and a therapist. I think that Bruce can shed some light on this also as a therapist.
Awesome.
Hey, Bruce, are you with us?
Yes.
Hey, welcome to the
show. John.
Bruce, let me give you a little background on Bruce Duncan. We're here tonight on Rockers in Recovery Radio, RIR Radio, with, of course, the founder of the Sound Pillow Sleep System, Scott Armbruster, and now Bruce Duncan, who is a musician and a therapist, is coming on with us. And one of the things that I want to talk about real quick with Bruce is Bruce, as like Scott, has for many, many years supported the Rockers in Recovery mission and also has played at our events. He's a great bass player, and we appreciate everything that Bruce does for Rockers in Recovery and the Love of Recovery Music Fest. He comes every year, spends his time, and helps us to work through the day and actually plays it on some of the sets. So we love you, Bruce, and thank you for being on the show tonight. You know, we're just discussing, me and Scott, the fact that music as a therapy or music as a stimulation to be able to get people early in recovery to start talking is something that actually works, and it has been effective, and also can be used as a meditation to be able to, you know, calm the mind, so to speak. So have you found that? Because I know you do some unplugged sets of music at treatment programs. Have you found over the years that it really helps people to get in touch with where they're at?
Absolutely. And, you know, music is, and you've posted this on several of your publications, you know, that where words end, music begins. You know, the reality is that when I'm playing music, I zone into a place where nothing else puts me anywhere close to that. My own personal meditation in the morning includes some time where I play my guitar and relax, helps me to focus.
Do you cool. see that in the treatment community, as you know, as a whole, being used as a treatment in their recovery process? Has that been a working mechanism for people in treatment?
Certainly, yes. Music therapy is quite well accepted now and has become quite the thing. Matter of fact, Saturday we went in and played up there in Highlands County at a place, and we're booked to play next Saturday at Tri-County up here. And, you know, I look forward to interacting with the people that are in treatment. You know, they're away from their families, and music is a way to connect with that part that they miss, but at the same time to wrap around the journey that they're on at that time, you know, in their treatment. And, yeah, it lifts spirits. Just yesterday when we pulled away from what we were doing and we were packing up to leave, a lady called one of the lady members of our group over and was thanking her for helping her to get back in touch with those things that she was missing. And just was so grateful that we had come in and played. So I see the difference in them when we leave from when we arrive. You know, they're sad and or they, you know, a lot of them are on meds. And so, you know, when we get ready to leave, they've gone from this, here I am kind of place to, you know, oh, wow, here I am kind of place. And so it's awesome.
But he said,
you know, this
go ahead,
Scott, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I think music, I think not only touches the heart, but I think it actually revitalizes the soul. We, going all the way back, I mean, from music being a tribal / communal spiritual festival, you know, from rejoicing to, you know, losing and mourning. And music is just one of those things that is so ingrained into our DNA that it's really hard to go to an event like when you've got a group of people that are experiencing the same journey or similar journey, and they're all being touched at the same time by this very positive message through music. You can't help but be uplifted by that. I don't think it's possible to walk away from something like that and not feel better about not only what you're going through, but who you are as an individual. And especially then to see that on a communal level, it's, you know, you're not alone. And it's music that kind of binds all of us together in that kind of environment. And it's just an incredible thing.
Do you see it that way, Bruce?
I do. I agree. And, you know, for me as well, I think that, that music has become kind of a worship thing where, you know, I try to pick stuff that lyrically is uplifting. And, you know, the music helps to present that in a fashion that allows people to get in touch with whatever their creator is. And, yes, and it seems to be a medium, if you will. You know, I enjoy it, and I see that they do, and I'm encouraged by their reaction to it. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's Bruce, like this Bruce, you're in recovery. You're in recovery, and you are a musician, and you're a therapist. Give us a little bit of background on you, because we did hear from Scott on his background. I just want to hear a little bit of background on you.
Well, you know, I'm clean and sober quite a while. My recovery date is November 20th, 1980. And so in that, there has been quite a lot of effort to try to connect with that part of myself musically. And, you know, I've been a rock and roll player, but I've played behind a lot of different people. Blues for one, you know, played some country and, played contemporary Christian for the last 12 years and played in some other ideas. And for me, it's been a major part of my recovery. Some of the times when I was in, like, I would say 5 or 6 years into recovery, I started playing out with some guys. Up until then, I had not done that, but I started playing out at some places that served alcohol and stuff and food establishments and one thing another. We did that for quite a while. And, you know, it played a part, but it wasn't where I felt really connected as much to the music as I did to later on when I began to play worship music and things that connected to my faith. And that really is where I started to transcend to that this meant more than just a bunch of chords and words and stuff. It began to have true meaning, spiritual meaning, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And as the therapist end of it, when did you start becoming a therapist and working through that process? Because, you know, there's a lot of people new in recovery that love the fact that they can go on to further education and become a therapist. How did that process unfold for you?
Well, I had gotten into wanting to help people through a volunteer status first. And then I drew such pleasure out of that. I was doing some stuff while I was going into the meetings, sharing 12-step ideas. And I had lost a son to heroin addiction. And it set in motion this desire to want to be more. And I thought that, well, if I could engage in the field, if I could just become more educated, if somehow I could find the golden key, you know, that whatever was missing, that maybe I could maybe intervene. No one else within my circle of influence might have to die from this disease. So I stepped into it on that level. And it was part of my my grieving process. You know, we all do things with that energy, and some people choose to go down a dark path. For me, I chose to just use it as a spark to encourage me to move forward and to educate myself more and to dig more into my own recovery and ask questions and and look for answers. And so I was looking on a clinical level to see if I might not find those solutions that were missing or appeared to be missing at the time. Really, I came out the other end of it, knowing that I can't save a soul. That's not my job. And my job is to love people where they are and to just share the thing that took place, the miracle that took place in my own recovery, in hopes that they would grab a hold of that and seek their own solution through a spiritual path. That's really where I've come to with it. And I hope that answered your question.
It absolutely did. Absolutely did. Okay, we're down to our 5-minute mark. Scott, anything in closing that you would like to say?
Yeah, I'd like to just keep an open mind about it. There's a whole lot going on out there that is good for you. The what you call the healthy addiction. You know, we generally say in our world pillows before pills as we talk about working with the veterans with PTSD and anxiety. No, it's not a magic silver bullet, but it certainly is worth trying first. And on the aspect of what Bruce does with playing live music with musicians in such a creative and expressive pouring of, you know, himself, any creative thought is an emotion expressed that you get out into the world, and he's putting himself out there. You know, embrace what's happening on the good level and try it. You need to really literally have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And if you can really positively touch someone's spirit and their heart, especially having gone through such terrible times, Bruce, I'm so sorry about the loss of your son, but to be able to move forward and, you know, reach out to people and take that negative energy and turn it into something so positive is a beautiful thing, and I commend you for that, sir. That's amazing, and truly amazing.
Well, Bruce, in closing, tell us what you think.
Recovery teaches that. It teaches us to accept each day as it is. It asks us in our daily meditation that we ask, was I selfish, was I angry? Did I do good for others, or was I self-centered in my endeavors? You know, and then it revisits that, you know, in the morning. It says that in the evening as we rest, that we reflect on those things, and then we review it again in the morning. And it doesn't matter what has happened or what the circumstance is. It's always the same solution. And I love being clean and sober. It's the most wonderful thing ever happened in my life. And without it, I wouldn't have known you, John. Thank you for all the hard work and all the effort that you put into reaching the suffering people out there. And I love you, man.
I love you too, Bruce. I love you too, Scott. Listen, you guys are rock. And what we're going to do is, of course, thank both Scott and Bruce for being on tonight. You guys rock. We look forward to hearing more from you guys over the next months and years, one day at a time. And most importantly, you can find more information about the Sound Pillow Sleep System at soundpillow.com. And you can find Bruce, if you want to hook up with Bruce, you can find him, Bruce Duncan, right on Facebook. You can hang out with Bruce. Bruce is a great guy. He's got a great message of hope and beautiful, beautiful individual. Thank you again. And Scott, thank you again. We're going to go out with Walking on Water, which, of course, was from David Usikian, just put it together with In the Pocket, and it was written by Tommy Conwell. Those guys are getting ready to do a huge thing up in Philly. You might want to check it out. You can go to Rockers in Recovery on Facebook or rockersinrecovery.org and check out all that information. You guys have a great night. Thanks for tuning in.